DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, week one of the NFL season is officially in the books after Monday Night Football last night. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, the week one of the NFL is over. Ended with a great game. Now it's crazy because now 2 days later, it's another game.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great game, too. I think it's Washington at Green Bay, so another great game. But, yeah, last night, I'll tell you this. The growth of young players, you know, is from year one to year two, especially the quarterback position, is so pivotal. Atlanta's in a situation with that. And you look last night, you had two guys. And I'll tell you this. To be Caleb Williams, and to have, because I just saw this morning, this dude's had played 18 games and has had three different offensive coordinators, three different damn head coaches in 18 games.
Yep.
Already came into the league a little raw and everything like that. How can you succeed, man?
It's been a turbulent turbulent takeoff.
Goodness
into the
gracious,
NFL.
Man.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It is gracious. And you saw some things that he was trying to work on, getting rid of the ball and everything like that. And then Brian Flores said, you know what, damn this, I'm a coach like Brian Flores. And it went back to the old holding on the ball, everything like that.
Yeah, freelancing.
Freelancing.
Doing just
too
like,
much.
Because he started 10 for 10.
He was doing well.
I mean, he started off the game 10
check
for 10.
Down, check everything.
Exactly.
He was
playing
doing so good.
Really conservative, taking what was there and all that. And then, yeah, I mean, it got muddy in the second half. And like you said, Flores did that, and the defense did that. And that offensive line for Chicago, they spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
It was a tough day.
That damn center that was here last year.
Made a lot of money.
Had a rough day
made
yesterday.
A lot of money to let guys go past him last night.
Yeah, rough day.
And then Caleb, you know, I mean, he's really good at extending plays, and he got out of some bad situations.
Yes, he did.
The problem is,
that's where he made the Dunze.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. That one where, I mean, I think he picked up 2 yards, but like avoided the first guy, stutter stepped the second guy, spun move past the other. I mean, anyway, just to get a yard or two, but at least he did, was all pretty impressive. But the problem is once he starts doing that, then he starts deciding he can make crazy decisions.
Yes.
And he still does some stuff. Like I was watching the Manning cast, and like those guys' reaction when he does stuff like that is like, can't do that.
Yeah.
We got to get that out of there.
Yeah.
No more decision making like that. And you're right. And then, I mean, it happened with McCarthy in 4 quarters where, you know, you check Twitter throughout the game and all that. Ooh. In the second quarter, everybody decided he was the worst draft pick in the history of the NFL.
He had a rough day.
And he did.
He had a rough start. He had a rough half.
Just like a lot of people in their first start in the NFL do.
Yes. And so when you look at where he came from, you know, he was, and I think his teammates, they did a great job just keeping him in the game. Once he threw the pick six, you're like, whoa, boy. Because you think about first start, you're back home. He's a big Bears fan. Mm-hmm. We knew that. And then having the best coordinator in ball, in my opinion, in Connell. And then you got the run game going. And then you used his athleticism. And then you threw the ball to Justin Jefferson.
And Justin Jefferson caught the ball.
Yes.
There was a couple drops last night.
And it magically just worked all out for him, man. And they were able to find a way to win that game. But, yeah, just the ebbs and flows of a young quarterback. And what McCarthy did last night, the respect that he earned from his damn teammates, just being gritty. Because I know that you're on the side and like, man, we let Sam Darnold go for that, dude. You know what I mean? It creeps in there no matter what. And for him to just battle the way he did, that the respect from your teammates is unmatched. It's unmatched. Now, you can't go lose it all by throwing 3 picks the next game. But
well,
at the same time, while y'all played against him?
No, the Falcons are.
Oh, that's right. let's hope he does. Yeah, let's hope he does, man. But I think, you know, just overall the development of a young quarterback, it's just this league is so damn hard as it is. And then you're trying to learn on the fly, be a leader, be a captain, and then in this certain situations, you're the number one pick for a reason because the team sucked the year before. And, you know, and we talked about Caleb and all the stuff they did for him this offseason. It's game one, so it can always get better, but – yeah, good for McCarthy, man. I just thought that was a gutsy-ass performance by that kid.
Yeah, it was, especially the way it started, like you said. I mean, it was really shaky. And it looked at times like he could have been rattled by it, you know, because it wasn't just the pick six, which was a very bad throw. They were lighting him up, and he was making bad decisions, and he's overthrowing guys, and it's just, it looked really rough. And then he settled down and made some really good throws in the second half. They go into the fourth quarter down by 9, right? Were they down by 11? They were 17-6 going into the fourth quarter, and they scored 3 touchdowns and win the game 27-24. Like, that thing flipped quick, you know? Because the Chicago had okay start to the game and then didn't really do much for about half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And things just completely changed. The momentum, you could feel the momentum switch in that game when Minnesota started to get it together. And yeah, I mean, good for them, good for him. Now he's the Falcons' problem because the Falcons play him on Sunday, and the Falcons have plenty of problems of their own.
Yes, they do.
Including the fact that Younghoe Koo missed a potential game-tying field goal at the end, obviously, on Sunday. We know that. Talked a lot about it yesterday. Comes as no surprise to anyone that they are exploring their options at kicker. Now, it's very funny to be doing that while simultaneously saying that we have the utmost confidence in the kicker.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You got a bunch of guys over there trying not to take his job.
No, you don't.
You know, if you had the utmost confidence in him, then they wouldn't be here.
No, you don't.
And everyone would be fine. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, what you say is not always reflective of what you do. And what they're doing is trying to figure that out.
Yep.
Because what you can't do is lose another game on a missed field goal at the end.
No.
Especially if it's that
guy. Would we be more surprised that in up in Minnesota that Younghoe is kicking or there's another kicker?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
No, okay.
I don't think either. What about you?
I don't think he's going to be the kicker anymore.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, somebody's got to come in and
blow them away. Blow definitely. Them away this week. Yes.
And that's the thing. What are the options?
That's what it comes down to. There's guys out there we probably don't know, but when we hear the name, like, oh, okay. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is that you got to find
the loyal group.
Yes.
I will say
they are that.
They're a loyal
group. And the thing about it is,
overly
if
sometimes.
They're up there. And these dudes look like ass.
That's right.
And you couldn't. You stay with Koo.
Exactly.
And that's the only way that Younghoe Koo will be the kicker this week if those guys they're bringing in are trash.
Yeah.
Just bad, bad.
Yeah.
And it's one thing they'd be kicking, you know, up there at the Falcons practice facility, nobody there, blah, blah, blah. It's another thing to go to that place up there in Minnesota and have the kick.
Yeah, on Sunday Night Football.
Yes,
because
it's a difference.
Here's what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Somebody's going to have to make a kick, whether it's Younghoe Koo or some guy they sign or whatever. And yeah, man, you can't simulate that in the indoor facility on a Tuesday.
Yep.
So I don't know. What can you actually show someone to demonstrate to them that you deserve that job over the guy that's been doing it for 7 years?
Best out of 10.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I really do wonder.
How do you try to figure out what you need
to see from a guy to tell whether or not he can go do it on Sunday
night? I've been at the facility. I had to do rehab one time during the season on a Tuesday when they brought guys in, when we got a kicker hurt. And that's all I saw. I just saw them like, okay, is it the best out of 10? You start at the 5 and go all the way back and
like
see
they
who
bring
the furthest?
The guy who's currently the kicker is there.
No.
Oh, because that would be amazing.
No, he's not there.
that would actually be
Younghoe
amazing.
No, Younghoe Koo is not there.
All right, we're playing horse.
Yes. No.
For the job.
Yes. No. Younghoe Koo is not up there while they're kicking.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be something different.
Then we see who's, you know, see who's made of what.
Yeah, no. That's definitely not. Now, they might still be on the roster Wednesday,
right.
whatever, and you have to burn a roster spot and take 2 kickers just in case whatever, but there's going to be certain things that they're going to do. We talked about the kickoff thing. They're going to practice those in situations like that. The one thing about the kicker is this: you don't really got to ingratiate them. Meaning, you don't got to give them a playbook or anything like that. You know, just go kick the ball. Literally, go kick the ball.
Here's the play.
Yeah,
it's going to be 4th down and more than 3 probably.
Yes.
Unless we're in a certain part of the field.
Yes.
We're going to snap it to the holder, and you're going to try to kick it through that thing.
Exactly. Yeah, it ain't really no game plan or nothing like that.
No.
It's just, you know, you go out there and kick. Maybe on the kickoff, they'll be like, kick it to the right.
Yeah, or whatever landed in the landing
zone. Right to right, void right. All
Young
those
way. Things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right to right, avoid right. Right to right, avoid left. All that kind of stuff.
But last night you saw, there's kind of some new strategy involved in the kickoff because of the new kickoff rules, right? Like, you saw O'Connell very smartly telling their returner to bring it out so they could burn the 2-minute warning.
Yes.
And, and run some clock before they get the ball. It would have been smart just to kick it out of bounds. Mm-hmm. If you can't kick it through the back of the end zone, which it seems like every place kicker in the NFL should be able to now, yes, since they've moved it up, but I know, yes, it's still pretty far. If you can't kick it through the back of the end zone, just kick it out of bounds. It's 5 yards more.
Yep, that's it.
And then no time runs off, and then maybe you get the ball back with more than 9 seconds at the end of the game.
All that strategy.
It is a lot of strategy. That's these guys' jobs.
You got to figure out a way to get a leg up on something.
You better know what's happening.
You can't have one play just be irrelevant, you know, because you don't have that many, so all of them have to count for something, because you never know when you're going to get an advantage on that one play.
And it was credit to O'Connell for being on top of it. No, come on out of there and burn some extra time and all that, and that'll help us. Look, I don't know. I'll say this. The fact that it's Tuesday, September 9th, and we're leading the show talking about a kicking competition is pretty indicative of not great. Mm-mm. For the Falcons. Mm-mm. Like, that conversation doesn't happen if a lot of other things go right.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, if you'd have told me last week, hey, Tuesday, this is what you guys are going to be opening the show with,
I'm like, hell no.
Cool. So they're 0-1 and Young Weku's still kicking like that.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. It's awesome. It's amazing. Awesome. It's amazing. The ebbs and flows. It's, and I know that Young Wei, he talked to the media yesterday and, you know, was basically saying, I felt good. It felt good all camp. Felt good this week, everything like that. It just missed. And he's right. You do just miss. It is. But that's not an excuse. Meaning, yeah, we understand it's an imperfect world. All right. You're gonna make some, you're gonna miss some. But damn it, when you are coming off of a season that you just had, and you are coming off of a season and going into an off season where the question marks are about you, call it what it is. You don't have leash. You don't have a long runway. You just don't. Mm-hmm. And you saw that. I don't give a damn what Ross said. Look at his face when he addressed the situation about the kicker. That's all you got. That's all you need to know about his faith and his team, his faith in the kicker. He probably loves Young Weku. But damn it, he knows that I'm about to get me fired.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
That's the thing.
You know, like, this.
Yeah, you can love him all you
yeah.
want. But. Got to do your job.
Yes, and it's more than anything in professional sports. As much as you love your teammates, yeah. much as you love your coaches, organization, whatever.
That's why
you got to do your damn job.
I love what Todd Monken said a couple years ago. He was like, "This isn't my family. Like, I know we talk about family yes. and all that, and it feels like that. But if I do bad long enough, they're going to kick me out.
Yes,
my family won't do that.
Yeah.
My daughters are going to love me no matter what.
Yes,
this isn't my family. This is my job.
This is
and my job is to win.
Performance based." Occupation.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And his performance has suffered.
Yes, it has.
Of late.
Yes, it has.
And the bottom line, too, is this. It's a 44-yard field goal in an indoor stadium off turf at home. That's an easy-ass kick,
yeah, man.
Professional kicker.
His performance is lacking. Blue chew.
Yeah.
Yeah, blue chew for your foot.
You could, hey, 44 is nothing. You'd be straight from 44,
yeah,
no
blue
problem.
Blue chew for your feet.
We need some blue chew for the feet. Promo code COO. We'll be back, tell you what's trending here to kick the show off on a Tuesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we got to go out. You know, like, it's only, you know, like we always talk about, we always create those competitive moments and find people, whether it be workouts or whatever the case may be. And if we are lucky enough and fortunate enough to sign somebody that looks good enough to come in and compete, that we feel like we do it throughout the week, we possibly can. But we'll keep scouring. And then, like, in the meantime, you know, we got to line up, we got to kick it, we got to make it, and we got to go through our process.
That's right. That's the bottom line.
Bottom line.
No offense to Young Weku, who's had some nice moments here. I don't think anyone cares who's kicking on Sunday
as long as they
do their job.
They
sign a new guy, and he goes out there and goes 4-for-4, and they win the game. That'll be everybody's new favorite kicker.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just like we said going to break, this is a performance-based business.
That's right.
It is. And no matter what your job is, no matter how much you love, he has made some big kicks. I would never take that away from him. So?
Yeah.
Because the thing about it is that we can maybe accept it, and I'll just speak from locker room talk, you can accept it probably from a position player that plays damn near every play. Mm-hmm. But them, there's nothing more annoying than watching that.
Yeah.
Because you're in practice getting your ass knocked off in practice and everything, and they were there kicking a damn soccer ball.
Yeah, they're over there juggling the ball.
Yes, sorry. It's just it's what it is.
Yeah. No, understood.
You know?
And, I mean, every position in every sport has a different level of credit versus like leash, right? Like if you do good for long enough, whether you're a kicker or whatever, then you get a couple bumps in the road. But he exhausted that last year.
Yep.
The bumps in the road, there was potholes.
Yes.
It was like driving down Peach Drive or whatever. pick a road. We live in Atlanta. Atlanta Road over there, by the way. Goodness gracious. Over there by Topgolf? Man. All right. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be careful.
Oh, yeah. That road is raggedy.
Right on a swivel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, that happened. So now we're in a whole different situation. And, look, I don't know. Nobody wants to be talking about this. Certainly not at any point in the season, early in the season, late in the season, whatever. But we're talking about it again.
Yep.
And I mean, even Youngway said yesterday, we're talking about this too much.
Yep.
Yeah, because of you. You're the one making us.
There are certain people
we don't want to talk about this.
There's positions that you don't want to hear from, especially when and you only hear about them when it's bad. Kickers and offensive linemen.
That's right.
Kickers and offensive linemen. I mean, and, you know, that offensive line didn't have its best game either. On Sunday. So, you know, you're going up to Minnesota and Flo's defense, we know it's a lot of pressure. Maybe about as much as you – maybe more than what you just faced on last Sunday with Todd Bowles. They got some good players, got a really good front. Mm-hmm. Really good front seven, nice secondary. We got exposed to a little bit last year up there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this defense is better than last year's.
Which?
The Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
I think so too. Yeah, because I don't think there'll be any more DBs falling down.
Right.
I don't think.
Yeah. That's a low bar.
Yeah, I don't think.
A couple punts fielded for touchdowns last year in that game. Yeah, look, I mean, it's a one game sample size with this group, and it's a young group and some new faces too. And I think by and large, defense looked pretty solid.
They're right.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously allowed a couple drives in the second half that ended up being the part of the difference in the game, but you know they got some pressures. Didn't get sacks, but got some pressures. Got to turn those into sacks.
Right.
Got hands on balls. Got to turn those into turnovers. Yep.
Got to catch them.
Got to catch them.
It's good.
There was some mistakes in coverage. I mean, call it what it is.
I just think. I mean, I don't. But the thing about it was, I don't know if it like the last touchdown of Buka caught. I think that's bust coverage. I do, but I could be absolutely wrong. But I mean, you think about some of the misses that they had, but then some of the things that when you're a defense, and that's one thing we talked about coming to this season from what I saw in preseason was like, they're turning the ball over. They're getting turnovers and everything. And you had opportunities, especially the young buck. He had like three opportunities.
Yeah.
Make it.
Yep.
You got to make it. I know it's great pass breakup, but everything, you got to catch the ball. You got to, when you have a team where the Falcons rank in the Pentagon or evolution of what the NFL is.
Pantheon,
thank you. You can't.
And Pentagon.
You can't. You got to make plays.
You have to.
You know, you can't not take advantage of an opportunity.
Right. Yep.
Especially when you don't get a lot of them.
Right. Especially when the margin is as thin as it is.
I mean, it's so, it's razor.
And it's going to be like that. Like every week, and we've talked about this for years now, and it's been true for the Falcons. So many one score games. So many games coming down to either you make the drive at the end or you don't. You make the kick at the end or you don't. And the season started that same way. I wouldn't be surprised if this Sunday night is the same way, too, against Minnesota.
Yeah.
This is who you'll be playing. This guy right here who went from having a really rough game to having a really nice finish last night. And throwing it to this guy is always a good idea.
Third down and five. Good protection over the middle. It's caught for a touchdown.
You're going to see two receivers kind of in the same area, about 5 yards separation with Justin Jefferson trailing Naylor. That's not good separation between those as far as a quarterback being able to see where to go with the ball.
I thought, you know, you just want to talk about bounce back. I know Kevin O'Connell came out and said, I went and told him that he was going to win this game for us and everything, and we're going to keep it as close as we can until – you get an opportunity. The young man played so good late. He really did. Because when you want to – I mean, a veteran quarterback might have been like, ain't my damn day after the first half that dude had. But, I mean, he settled down. They were able to run the football, which helped. And then, again, finding your man, Justin Jefferson. You know, and the thing with him, he's a really athletic kid. J.J. McCarthy. Really athletic kid.
Yeah, he can run around.
Yeah,
a
he's a really, really athletic kid. So he's one of them guys you're going to have to put your pads on. You got to put your pads on him to get him to the ground if you're the Falcons. But, yeah, just a great performance by him late. Obviously, you saw Caleb look different. He looked better, in my opinion. Now, he still has some Caleb moments. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can see that he's trying. You can see that Kevin O'Connell – I mean, I'm sorry. Ben Johnson wants him under center. Mm-hmm. Thought he did really good in the first half of being under center after being the gun for all his damn life.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he did really, really good in all those things. I just thought that his O-line didn't help him out either late. But I thought, you know, Flo just started throwing some different things at him, and it made him just a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I still think with him, and you made a great point off the bat, like it's been a pretty tumultuous first 18 games of a career where – coaching change and OC change and obviously a wholesale scheme change this offseason with Ben Johnson coming in, a lot of new faces and all that. I've just always felt like the stuff that you can teach, you can see him learning.
Yes.
The stuff that you can't teach, he can do.
Right.
But you kind of have to get him to tamper some of that down. Mm-hmm. Like, because you could see it as the game went on, he got a little bit more comfortable freestyling.
Yes.
And I was like, don't do that.
Because
you don't have to. He did the Mariota like
because belly flop that's throw. What happens sometimes, Bump, when you're always such a great athlete, the best athlete,
right,
and things weren't going right. Your athleticism always got you out of it.
It's the NFL.
Yeah, brother.
All these guys are.
Yeah, bro.
All these guys are those guys.
Yeah, bro.
All right, let's hear from a little bit of the Braves game last night. A handful of different Braves stories
Man.
As we get you caught up.
And Ozzie gives this a ride out to center field. Castro's back, and Ozzie stays hot. Solo blast, 1-0 Atlanta.
Well, it's safe to say that Ozzie's going to be the second baseman next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the way he's been playing lately, man. And,
he's playing like he wants to be.
Yeah, and so he's playing well. The disturbing story was this whole Sean Murphy thing, man, undergoing hip surgery. That's something that it seems like it's been for a long time.
Yeah.
So imagine being a catcher with a bad hip.
Yep.
Damn. That's guy. Woo.
So he's tough as hell.
He's tough than this.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Kind of part of me is like, maybe could have said something earlier.
Maybe.
At some point. Because it's been kind of, we've been wondering, this isn't really the guy we were promised.
Yeah.
You know?
But this is one of the things where.
I don't know when it got hurt, but like to be like toughing it out for 3 years is a little bit like, well, maybe that's why you haven't been very good for most of those 3 years.
Could be, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which to me is a little annoying.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I get it, you're tough and all that, but at a certain point, they got doctors for a reason.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Get the surgery. And now they say 4 month recovery and all that. So obviously he'll be out for the rest of the year and back next year. And I don't know, maybe he'll look better because he had the surgery that he needed, but it would have been pretty cool if you would have told somebody like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe could have played
that.
Shout
better. Out to Schnitt. Said 800 career wins as the manager. That's awesome. I'm confused. I understand it, but not with this dude. This is Ronald Dan McKinley Jr., and he's batting 6-7. This is shut him down, man. Just shut him down. I don't. Why mess with this dude? This dude wants to be the leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Last time you said that, you like, when remember that year he started out and it was 2 or 3, and they were like, okay.
I know.
He wants to be the leadoff. Put him at leadoff. Ends up winning freaking MVP. Put his ass at the leadoff spot, all right? He's better than Profar, all right?
Yeah.
Put him back at leadoff.
And he's comfortable.
He's comfortable right there. I know he's been struggling. I get it.
I don't know if that's why he's been struggling for a month and a half now, but I don't think it helps. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Ronald Acuna batting 7th. I guess he batted 6th last night, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I ain't like that at all.
I don't like an 0-for-25 from Ronald
Acuna.
I hate it too.
I hate it too, but I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to hear your damn statistics and everything. That's Ronald freaking Acuna Jr.
Okay.
Put his ass back at the top of the lineup.
Okay.
Yeah. Period.
There's still some underlying Acuna stuff with you.
I don't really care. I don't really care.
We care about something.
No, I care that I want him happy.
Okay.
I want him
got
back
it.
At the one.
Got
at
it.
The
got
one.
It. Got
yes.
It. I see.
Ronald Acuna Jr. leading back off.
And I agree. I think that he should be. I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, this whole second half of the season is just
crazy.
Like, well, it's like, you know, they're still playing these games.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
You know?
Yeah.
And they Acuna's not been doing great, so I guess they're toying with it a little bit. I'd toy with it with putting him back in the leadoff spot.
Why not?
Where he likes to be at. Maybe that'll help. And I don't know if that's what it is. Maybe there's something wrong with his swing right now. I'm really not sure.
Something wrong with his swing.
I don't know. He's batting 115 the last month.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. Hey, guys. Oh, it's a big weekend up there in Knoxville. And if you're heading up there for Saturday's game, be sure to make a pit stop at Twin Cougar this Friday, where Dukes and Bell will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6, breaking down Saturday's matchup while enjoying the food, drinks, and scenic views of Twin Peaks Chattanooga. Sweet. It's an easy stop right off of I-75 at the state line. Dukes and Bell on Friday.
All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte will join us. We'll talk some Falcons with him ahead of week one, get his thoughts on what may go down between now and Sunday with the kicker competition and all that, and get his thoughts on some college football as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. NFL no huddle just about 20 minutes away from right now. We'll get back into the Monday night game from last night. Start turning the page to week two as well, like Randy said. Week one ends. Week two starts Thursday.
Yeah, man.
With a good game.
Yeah, man.
A good game. So we'll get to that. And there was a trade yesterday for a running back whose name you know. So we'll get to that and get you caught up on everything. Some college football coming up at 12:20 as well.
Before we get to Mike, shout out, because always got to give our shout out to Atlanta Dreams. Big win last night. Obviously, that went, I think, sole number two seed right now. So shout out to those ladies. Ryan Howard, another great game, man.
She went off over the weekend, too, by the way. Did you see that? She had like 37 in the win that they had over the weekend.
Yeah, man. And we talk about the other teams in front of them. Atlanta a problem, bro.
No, they are. Yeah.
Atlanta a whole bag of problems.
I agree. It's going to be really fun to see what they can do in the playoffs this year. As they, you know, they revamp the team and add in some big pieces and all that. And,
first-time head coach's best record ever for it, yeah. Which is awesome right there, man.
So, every win they get sets a new franchise record for most wins in the season for the Atlanta Dream. So they're doing great. All right. With that, we welcome Mike Conte to the show, as we always do, on Tuesdays at 11:40. Mike, how are you?
What up, Mike? Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Obviously, a lot of the conversation between when we took the air yesterday at 11 and now has been about Falcons' first game with the Bucs and the missed kick and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your mind at after the 0-1 start?
Yeah, you know, actually feel maybe slightly better about the Falcons than I did going into the game, which I know is a weird takeaway after a loss. But I think there were a lot of really positive things to take out of the game that I wasn't really that sure about. Penix made some huge plays down the stretch. I thought played a good game. Pitts, I think in general, played a good game. It was a relatively even game against a team that's favored to win the division. Okay, so like I look at all those things, and that tells me, you know, I don't think the Falcons are going to be awful this year. I also saw some things that make me wonder if the Falcons are going to be really good this year. I'm not sure about that. Couldn't run the ball at all. Special teams outside of the missed field goal to end the game, special teams were horrendous.
Yep.
You know, I know a lot's been made of the sack numbers not being where everyone wants. I'm not exactly sure I'm like really wound up about that, because I do think they were affecting the pocket and Baker Mayfield's a somewhat different matchup, but they've got a lot to clean up. The late game penalties were very ill-timed.
Yes.
Rucaroro, even though I think Mayfield, as I tweeted, kind of embellished.
Mm-hmm.
Look, when you touch the quarterback
in that situation,
you provoke a flag. So you got to be better there. But I think those are things that can be cleaned up. I just, again, I don't really love their upcoming schedule and their realistic opportunities to get a couple wins before maybe we get to that Buffalo game on October 13th. I think it's going to be really, really tough. But I didn't walk out of the stadium on Sunday and think, oh, man, the Falcons, they're not going to be good this year. I don't feel that at all based on how they played on Sunday.
What's more likely? This is how I should ask the question. What's more likely, a young Wakoo kick set on Sunday or another kicker on Sunday night?
Today will be the day that determines that, because it sounds like they're bringing guys in. Youngway did beat out competition in training camp. It was one guy, not a whole bunch of guys, but he did win the job in training camp. If it were me, and it's not me, and I don't make the decisions, and they don't listen to me, I'd be moving on.
Yeah.
That's
what we said yesterday.
You can't trust him in a clutch situation anymore. Right. This isn't a one-time blip. People were calling for his job after the Saints game last year. I thought that was premature. But now there's been added evidence since that. That was, I think, what, Thanksgiving weekend last year or thereabouts, maybe even before. There has been increasing evidence since that he's just he doesn't have it anymore. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he was trying to make an explanation yesterday. I do appreciate the fact that he met with the media. That's a good thing. I don't understand why you're admitting to changing your mechanics based on the turf, and it's your home stadium.
Right.
Like, what? What are we talking about?
Maybe the soccer with you know the soccer. Whatever. That's the first thing I said. I was like, man, you went too deep.
He went too deep into it.
Whatever. Yeah.
He
man.
Shouldn't have explained it that deeply.
Here's what I would ask everyone listening to us right now who watched the game on Sunday when they brought Koo out. For that final play of regulation, how many of you listening thought, yeah, he's going to make this?
I know I didn't.
No.
I didn't.
Most did.
I know I didn't.
You know? And the problem is, that is a routine field goal.
Exactly.
A 44-yard field goal indoors with a perfect snap and a perfect hold is a routine field goal.
Yep.
It is inexcusable to miss it.
Right.
But the fact that I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we were not expecting him to make that routine field goal.
It's bad.
Look, and it's a tough job. I get it, but it is your only job. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not acceptable. And I don't want it to sound like all of us are blaming the loss solely on Koo, but how many games in the NFL come down to a kick?
A ton.
I mean, Arch had the stat yesterday. The Falcons were in 13 one-score games last season and again on Sunday, and they've only won six of them. So you don't have the luxury, if you're the Falcons, to carry a kicker who's unreliable like this and expect that the result's going to be any different.
This is from Tom Pelissero 5 minutes ago. The Falcons are signing kicker Parker Romo to the practice squad, per source, after Younghoe Koo's critical miss Sunday. Raheem Morris said they'd bring in competition. It'll be Romo, who was 11 for 12 on field goals in four games last season with Minnesota.
Okay. So. I mean, he's got some NFL experience. That's good. The guy I was looking at was Matt Coughlin, who was with the Memphis Showboats in the UFL, had a really good career at Michigan State, and I think made 95% of his field goals last 2 years in the UFL. I know some people have thrown Hot Rod's name out there.
Yep.
So it sounds like this is the guy. Now, if you're signing him to the practice squad, I think Lenny Krieg
he's fine.
Well, he's also on the practice squad, right?
Yes. Yep.
But help me out, Randy. Because he's international, he doesn't take a spot, right?
Correct.
So this does not necessarily mean someone's got to go.
Right.
You know, like ordinarily you'd say, all right, they're signing a kicker to the practice squad. They already have a kicker on the practice. Boy, that's loud.
Probably my headphones.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Man, it's screaming at me.
I know. I my headphones.
That's good. Ordinarily, if you're signing someone to the practice squad and someone in that position is already on the practice squad, you say someone's got to go.
When it's kickers, like if it was another offensive lineman on the practice squad, they'll probably keep another one. But because it's a kicker, you would automatically link. Well, you got one, but because of the international spot, they're squared away on that.
Well, so here's kind of what happened this morning. They had four kickers in there to try out. Parker Romo, one of them. He's the guy they signed. They also had Zane Gonzalez, Michael Badgley, and Ben Sauls. I think Ben Sauls was the guy we saw.
Yeah, we saw
listener sent us a picture of him at the airport yesterday.
Okay, good.
So shout out to
nice
that
job.
Listener.
Hey, good job.
Shout out for knowing who that was.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And,
very well done.
I was like, who the hell is this guy?
We didn't run with it.
So they didn't call Sauls, though. They called
they call Romo.
Yeah, they called Romo. But anyway, yeah, he was 11 for 12 last year. His long was 55, so he's got some distance. I don't know. Now him and Koo get to compete for the next couple days.
He's a Georgia kid.
Okay, oh, okay. Even better.
So he was probably here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He just called, hey, how fast can you get to Flowery Branch? I'll be there tomorrow at 8.
Well, yeah. I like the fact they have a guy who has NFL experience and 11 for 12 in NFL. Like, I don't want to besmirch the UFL, but I'm going to lean towards that.
Well, it's also pretty clear they don't feel like Lenny Craig's ready yet.
Yes.
Like, he's never kicked in an NFL game before.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like a jerk here, But Lenny Craig could not beat out Younghoe Koo in training camp.
Fair enough.
What makes you think that, like, so many people are trying, just give it to Craig. Craig was not better than Koo in training camp.
Exactly.
What changed? Yep. Like, so Craig will have his opportunity to develop, and Randy knows kickers are kind of off to the side, yep. and they just do their thing every day, and all they do is kick and kick and kick and kick. By the way, not Tony Romo. What's his name?
Parker
Romo. Falcons have got to be better on kickoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
got to
you
be
hit
better.
The spot, and then once their return is in, the coverage teams are awful,
terrible.
Yes,
honestly, you know, you look at the anatomy of how Tampa was able to take the lead, and you know, Rook had the bad penalty, and you almost had Baker sacked, but you couldn't finish that off, and I thought the 3rd and 9 that Tampa converted was delay of game that they didn't cut. Whatever. There's a lot of things that go into the anatomy of that, but it all started with a horrendously covered kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa got the ball at like the 45-yard line. Yep. All they needed was one or two first downs, and they were going to be in position to score. So, got to get that part cleaned up, too.
I saw you, because a lot of us talking about the same thing. What'd you think of the defense, Mike? I don't think they were horrible.
But
you were talking
no
about
problem.
The pass rush, but overall.
No problem, really. I mean, I think, look, you don't like blowing a late lead.
Right.
Whatever. Mike Evans did not have a big day. I think you kind of held him in check. If you take Mayfield's scramble yards out, you did a pretty good job against the run. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only one sack, but I don't take PFF as gospel, but, you know, the 40% of all dropbacks created pressure, that's pretty good. Like, you get the feeling that some of those are eventually going to get home for sacks against a quarterback that might be less mobile than Baker Mayfield. I had no problem. Honestly, I was more impressed with some individuals on defense than anyone else in the game. I thought Divine Diablo,
yes,
as I tweeted really a good. Couple times,
yeah.
That guy might be the steal of the preseason, the steal of the offseason. What a find. Terrific. Xavier Watts, outstanding. You know, Raheem was talking about it with Arch last night. Probably should have had two interceptions last night. So good positioning by him. Couple guys really, really stood out for me defensively, and that gives me hope. Tampa's also it's a tough matchup. I mean, you did beat them twice last year, but Baker is a tough quarterback because of his mobility. You're not going to see guys like him every week. Collapsing the pocket against Baker might give you a different result than, say, collapsing the pocket against I don't know, even J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Although he showed some wheels last night, which surprised me a
little. He can move a little bit. Look, I mean, you know, the way that games are analyzed and reacted to are first and foremost based on whether or not the team won and lost.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Correct.
So there's a lot of positives that are in there that as the week goes on, we can dig into and get into. The first day and hour since the game has been dedicated to the kick because that's what happened.
Yeah.
There's a story coming into the season. It went wrong week one, and now they've signed a new guy. So I understand where it is. But you go back to last year and the first win they had against Tampa. Different way of getting there, but similar game where you had to make a kick at the end to get to overtime. You got the ball first, you scored, you won. I remember doing that show the next day, and it was one of the most fun shows we've done in a while.
It's funny. Jason and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago after Atlanta United and Toronto played to a scoreless draw, and that was a dreadful game, okay, for 90 minutes. Dreadful. Boring. No one was doing anything. But Atlanta had a couple chances at the very end. They had a corner and a couple other things. They had a couple chances at the very end to steal a goal and win that game. And Jason and I were making the point, no one's going to remember how dreadful the game was if you end up getting a late game winner. Right. That's all that matters. Did you win the game, and was there a little bit of excitement at the end? And it is interesting how our minds frame what we saw based on the final outcome, because I think you could make the argument, Andy, that in the two wins against Tampa last year, the Falcons may have had more flawed performances overall in those two games, but they made the plays at the end to win. They may have played a teeny bit better this past Sunday, but didn't make the play at the end to get the win. So, again, I keep coming back to this. Nothing I saw on Sunday tells me the Falcons are really going to be bad this year. Nothing tells me that. Did you have on your bingo card that the Falcons would look better than the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
No.
I sure didn't. But they absolutely did. I mean, I think you could talk to fans of the Miami Dolphins or the New York Giants or, heck, even maybe the Chicago Bears, the way they blew that game last night. And I think they might gladly trade places with where the Falcons are right now, because I think you see that there's the potential for this thing to ascend. And the biggest takeaway for me is you clearly have a quarterback.
Yes.
Clearly have a quarterback. I came into this year, I think we've all talked about this, I was trying to be as, realistic as possible, that Penix is still essentially a rookie because he only played limited amount last year. I came away thinking this guy is nails. We're going to be just fine with Michael Penix at quarterback, and that to me is huge. Now you just got to find a way to steal one against Minnesota or Washington,
yep,
and
no then
we'll
doubt.
Be in business. Because that's going to be really tough.
That's what Sunday is. You lose a game at home like that that you could win.
Yeah.
That puts extra pressure on other games down the road, including the road game against Tampa later. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. All right, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta Golf Open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, get to an NFL no huddle, wrap up everything that happened in week one, start looking forward to week two as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Listen to everything you do
or wherever you get your podcasts.